Anyway, here we go. The ship you're on. A little series today. The ship you're on. Let's talk about it. Y'all ready to go? We're going to go to the Scriptures. Not just in a cruise ship message, but it's going to have something to do with it. Say that with me. Get on board. Get on board. Boy, it's exciting when you do get on a cruise ship. I mean, you know, you drive over there. We went out of Cape Canaveral, and you drive over there, and, you know, you got to park. My goodness, cruises are such a good price right now this time of the year. Parking's about as much as a cruise. It's craziness. But you park, then you got to get in the line, and you got to go through all that. Get your little card. I mean, sometimes that can take you like an hour. But, man, when you're finally on board, oh, man, you're on board. Amen. And the ship isn't leaving for several hours, but, man, the buffets are wide open. And you just feel good. That pressure's off of you. You know, for 7 days or how long the cruise is, you're just doing it. You're free. You know what I'm saying? This is what your life's going to be the next several days. And they're going to take care of you. So get on board. And it's nice to get on board one of those cruise ships. Keep going, Raj. What we got coming? The word fellowship. See that word ships right in fellow, isn't it? See that? Fellow what? Fellow what? Fellow what? Fellowship. A lot of people don't know what fellowship means. The word in the Scriptures, you see the word fellowship many times in your Bible. It means literally in the Greek, having things in common. Say that with me. Having things in common. That's what the word fellowship means. It doesn't necessarily mean happy. But you know what? When you have things in common, like this definition, it basically means two or more people in the same ship, going the same what? Working together to accomplish the same purpose. You'll be happy if you're doing that. You know what I'm saying? If two people are in the same ship going different directions, ain't going to be happy. Amen? But when you're working together, when you have things in common, when you have a common goal, a common purpose, at fellowship we say around here, we love Jesus and we love people. We love who? And we love... I also talk a lot about America. Love America. But love Jesus more. Amen? You understand that? And we love people more. It's just really... It's what we are. It's who we are. We love Jesus. We love people. That's a common thing that we have together here. Y'all listening or no? Today might be your first time, second time. That's a big deal to us here at Fellowship Church. We love Jesus and we love who? People. How about if people ain't like us? We love them. Okay? Like I felt comfortable on that ship with over four. I've never been on a ship with that many people in my life. I've been on a lot of these cruises. That's a lot of people. Okay? I probably prefer a cruise that has less people, to be honest with you, because of the lines and the different things and stuff like that. But however, I was comfortable. I was comfortable with all those people doing things that I don't do. Used to. You know what I'm saying? You know, acting crazy, acting the fool, a lot of them. But I was comfortable. I was right there. We shouldn't have our own little spot over here. We were right in the middle of them. Amen? I mean, the craziness around the pools going on. You know, they're in the pool and they're dancing. It's a blast. It's funny to see who gets up and actually dances. That is funny right there. And it's funny, those people love to see themselves on that big screen. And they must not be looking at themselves. You understand? You know what I'm talking about, amen? But it was no problem being with the folk. I loved it. They're just like me. They're just like you. Picture of humanity. Amen? Let's keep moving the message. Boating, cruising. Here's the good news, guys. Boating is in the what? It's in the Bible. Look at it. Come on, now we got a fly rod. Some Bible boats. Here we go. You got Noah's big boat. You got Moses' little boat. Remember that little boat? Mom and Daddy put him in. And you got Jonas. What kind of boat? Bad boat. Bad boat right there. Bad boat right there. You have James and John's boat in Matthew 4. You've got Peter's boat in Luke 5. You got the boat that Jesus preached from in Matthew 13. You got a boat where Jesus rebuked the sea in Matthew chapter 8. And you got the boat that Jesus entered when he walked on the water in John 6. Lots of boats in the Bible. And wait a minute, I didn't name all the boats that are in the book of Acts. A lot of boating going on in the book of Acts with the Apostle Paul going from place to place to place to different ports along the seas, etc.
lots of boats in the Bible. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is this verse, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples, say it with me, to get into the what? Yeah, that's a good thing. Cruising is a good thing. Jesus said so. Amen? Go get into the ship, Gary. Yeah. Guys, go out on that boat. Ladies, get out on that water. How many enjoy boating right here in Englewood? You enjoy these waters right around. It's a great thing. It's in the Bible. Amen. Anyway, Jesus constrained his disciples to do what? Get in a boat to get on board. I want to talk to you a little bit about boating in the Bible and boating with Jesus a little bit today. Let's move the message. It's called today, The Ship That You're On. Let Jesus take you from where you are to where you what? Can be. Get on board with Jesus. We're going to walk with Jesus a little bit. Jesus spent most of his ministry around the water. Flat out. I've been there many times. 12 trips to the Holy Land. Taking tours and leading tours. And almost all of our tour is around the Sea of Galilee. How many have been to Israel? See your hand. Don't you spend a lot of time around the Sea of Galilee? Let's take another hand. Is that like one of your favorite places in Israel to go up around the Sea of Galilee? Even though Jerusalem is grand central religious station, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee is up here. It's a little lake that's shaped like a harp, like a harp or even a heart. Okay? It's about 6 miles wide and 13 miles long. Lots of little towns around that lake, and that's where Jesus spent a lot of his ministry. You understand? A lot of boating. It might seem like a small little lake to us because we live in America, but right there is one of the only freshwater lakes like that in the Middle East. The Jordan River flows into it. Then it flows out of it, and it dies in something called the Dead what? Sea. Very, very important. Jesus spent a lot of his time around that water. And this is how he started his ministry, around that water. Okay, so if you can hang in here with me. From that time, Jesus began to what? Preach. After he was baptized of John, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Remember that. And he constrained John to baptize him. That was the Jordan River near the country of Jordan. Okay? And so after that, Jesus began to preach. What was his message? Say it with me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walking by the sea of what? Galilee. Now there is the Mediterranean Sea that runs all down through there. Little time he was up by that way, but for the most part he was around the fresh water. The fresh water, the Sea of Galilee, it's where the people lived. It's like Englewood back in the day. People didn't live over on the beach. They lived on the mainland right here. They lived on this side of the bay because the bay was where they made a living. And the fish that would come from that bay, the Lemon Bay right out here. Jesus went where the who were, the people. Jesus was all about who? People. Okay, that's what he's all about. So he was walking by the Sea of Galilee where the people were. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting a net into the what? To the sea, which is nothing more than a freshwater lake. For they were fishermen. And he said unto them, say it with me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, this is incredible. We're going to talk about this today. They left their nets and they followed Jesus. And going on from there, he saw two other men, brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were in the ship with their daddy named who? Zebedee! And they were mending their nets. And Jesus said, come and follow me. And they what? Immediately left their what? Their ship, which is a boat. And they left who also? Who'd they leave? Can you imagine that? They'd be like, where y'all going? I just got y'all where y'all need to be. Y'all can take this over from me. And they did what? They left him. They left him and they followed Jesus. I'm talking about that today. Y'all with me so far? I feel like you want to go on a cruise sleep with me. But don't be going to sleep with me. Here we go. Come on. What was Jesus' message? It was these words right here. Repent. 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 That was his message. That was Jesus' message. Repent. It's a bad word almost today in churches. If you say repent, ooh, you know? Man, that's one of the greatest words. Aren't you glad you can repent? Say. Aren't you glad that Jesus forgives you? Aren't you glad? Say. That's a great thing. That was His message. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say what? Repent! For the kingdom of heaven's at hand. What does repent mean? Here's what it means. Turn around. Turn around, people. I'm right here. Turn around. And you know, that's what happened to me on this ship this time. Maybe it's because of things I've gone through in my life over the last 2 years. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're building that big old building down yonder. I have no idea. But something happened to me on this trip. I saw the people on this trip. Now, I love being with Kim. Had a great time. But I saw the people. And I felt comfortable with them. I wanted them to be my friend. I didn't look down on them. Oh, they got drunk. Watched one guy fall. May have probably broke his hip. Fell by the pool. But I didn't sit over there going, oh, look at me, I don't do that. I just saw them different. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And I thought about Inglewood. They're no different. Inglewood's no different. If we pulled that boat up out here, we'd get the same number, the same percentages, the same. Would be crazy. I guarantee it'd be the same. You hearing me? Yes or no? That's where we live. You hearing me? Repent. Turn around. You know what repent means to me? It means you've got a chance, man. You've got a chance. You don't have to live life going this way. You don't have to live life going down the dead end. You don't have to live life lost. You don't have to live life making horrible choices in your life. Repent means what? I've got a fighting chance. Amen? I got a chance. Jesus is right here. He wants to walk with me. He wants me to get on board with Him. And He's just right there. You understand? Turn around. I'm right here. That's what was His message. He's the King of Heaven. Can you imagine? We're not just talking about anybody saying turn around. He has on His vesture and on His thigh, the book of Revelation, a name written. Say it with me. King of kings. And what? Lord of lords. And He wants me. He wants me to not go this way, but turn around and walk with Him. I can have a life, a different life. I didn't sit on that ship judging people because of some crazy behavior. Most of my time was having a good time and thanking the Lord that I have You, Lord, in my life. I have You in my life. You have blessed me with children, with a wife, with a church, with being able to make decisions that aren't going to cause me to fall and break a hip. You hear me? Yes or no? I was just thanking Him, man. Repent. That was His message to these guys. Repent. Follow me. Amen? Keep looking. Get on board. That's where Jesus wants you. So that was His message. Say that word with me. Reality. See, that's what I stepped into. Now, I live in reality right here in Inglewood. This is reality. But so often we can slip out of reality into our house at whatever street we live on. You understand? We can slip away from people. You can't slip away from no people on no 4,000 people on a cruise ship. Not unless you want to starve to death. And you can get room service, but they cut that menu down because they can't give you everything on the room service, so you know I'm going to eat. So the point is you can't really, you're going to be with a lot of people. And that's reality. I saw the real world for 7 days. I think on purpose, the Lord, we had a great time. It was for us. We loved our time together. But I think the Lord had me on that ship for another purpose. And that was, Gary, this is reality. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Reach people for Christ in Inglewood. That's your boat, baby. That's that boat right there. Same people, but they're back there. You understand? Reality. That's where Jesus met those guys along the shore. Did he meet them in church? Yes or no? No. These guys didn't go to church. I don't believe they went to church. Okay? My opinion, you check it out. All right? The further you got away from Jerusalem, the less spiritual and less committed people were. Okay? Up around that lake, it was about working, it was about fishing, it was about leisure. It was still about that. Okay? Wasn't necessarily about religion like Jerusalem was. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother. They were casting their nets into the sea because they were fishermen. He met them right there in their real world. And then he's got John and James. They were in that ship. They were mending their net. He met them right where they worked. Is that where he met them? In the real world. That's where Jesus wants to meet you. He don't want to church you up. You hear me? Yes or no? He don't want to church you up. He wants you to repent. He wants me to repent. He wants us to turn around. He wants us to quit walking that away. He wants us to know He's right here. He wants us to follow Him. You understand? Get on board. This is where Jesus met people, in the real world. Where they what? Guys, I want to really encourage you. I mean, I went to seminary. I've done that. I've been quoted, baby. But as older I get, and the longer I'm in the ministry, the more I'm realizing the best way to share your faith is be real. Would you just be real with me? Say. I sat next to a black guy. Had about an hour-long talk with him. And he sat down with me, and we're eating. He's from South Georgia. Talks just like I do. He's a Christian, he told me. But he's backslidden. He told me, I'm backslidden, preacher. He said, I got out of church. And he told me the reasons he got out of church. But he said, man, I was on fire. He said, I could preach. I said, well, let's preach now. I said, let's have a preach-off right here, you and me. Is that what I said? He's like, all righty. Big old personality this fella had, and he took me up on it. He started preaching about Mephibosheth from Lodabar. And he was doing just what you expect the old black preacher to do, baby. He was laying it out, sitting right next to me. His wife over there goes, oh, Jesus, help us. Because we're at a table with eight people in the whole dining room. Amen? The point is, this guy kept saying he was backslidden. He talked about going back to the bottle. And he said this statement, because humans will be humans. Humans will be humans. Because us humans, we will be what? Humans. I didn't fuss with him, but I mean, he was wanting to stay right there. You know what I'm saying? But I sort of met him right there in reality. This was the real world. He and I were talking about the real world. You understand? Jesus met people in the real world. I didn't put him down. I hope the time I spent with him, I gave him our PastorGary.com. Go there and listen to me, and you know, if anything I can do for you, I invite them to Inglewood. You can come here, you can stay with me. We'll take you to lunch and do things with you. Reality. That's where Jesus met people. Y'all listening to me? I encourage you as a church, let's meet people in our real world. Are y'all hearing me? I hope I'm not boring you to tears with the cruise stuff. But let's meet people in our real world. Are y'all listening to me? It's just a big old cruise ship. Amen? What we're on here in Inglewood, we're right on the water, ain't we? Come on. Sure. That's where Jesus met people. These guys were fishermen. You can't get more rugged. You probably can't get more foul. More tough in that day than a fisherman. Okay? You can see that if you follow Peter a little bit longer, you know Peter was a tough guy. He cut your ear off. Is that true? Yes or no? Would he cut your ear off? Somebody tell me yes or no. Would Peter cut your ear off? Sure. Did Peter have a problem with some cussing? Did he do that? Yes or no? Sure he did. That's who he was. That's the way he walked. Now, thank God he's turned and he followed Jesus and he started walking different, didn't he? Amen. They were fishermen. He met them where they were. They were casting nets. That's what they did. He met them right there in the real world. So often we try to church people up instead of reach people where they are and meet them right there with Jesus. Amen? Say, let them see Jesus in your life. It's okay. I'm divorced. Did you know that? Yes or no? Did y'all know that? I've been divorced. Did y'all know that? Yes or no? You might be new here today. Oh, no, he's divorced. We've got to get out. I was married 28 years. Was faithful. Not perfect. But the bottom line is, on this cruise ship, did you know what? I bet there was a whole lot of people just like me. I bet there's a whole lot of people like you in this room. How many in this room have been divorced? Can I see your hand? There's a lot of you in this room. How many have had a child in this room? You've had a child of yours that's been divorced. Can I see your hand? How about you came from parents that were divorced? Can I see your hand? Now, if any way, shape, or form divorce has touched your life, can I see your hand? That's a lot, isn't it, guys? You know what that's called? I can hide from it. Or I can embrace it. That is my reality. Did you hear me? I ministered to divorced people for years until I went through that. I never understood the pain, the stigma. You understand? Yes or no? But the Lord spoke to me on this ship. He said, Gary, has touched 75 to maybe 85% of the people in Inglewood. They've gone through that. That's a lot of people reach, son. Amen? Reality. Did I lose you a little bit on that little talk? I'm glad I'm remarried. Wow. Is that a blessing? Say, that's something I couldn't understand. You that had gone through divorce and you're remarried, I couldn't understand that. How hard that is. Not hard to get along necessarily, but it's just different and it's change. But did you know I'm able to reach a lot of people and talk a little about that? You see what I'm saying? I can look at it as bad, or I can look at it as who I am. That's my reality. How about Jesus meet me right here and work with me right here with these folks right here, and let's see what we can do for you, Jesus. Amen? Can we do that as a church? Say, whatever your reality is. My mother was a drunk. She was saved from that drunkenness. It was still a temptation that she had to the day she died, she told me. She still, you know, she had to fight. She was able to reach a lot of people through her issues. You understand? Reality. We don't need to church people up. We need to meet them where they are, introduce them to Jesus, and we need to be walking and following Him. Understand? Amen. That's where He met them. They were at the Sea of Galilee. That's where they lived. We need to meet people where they live, guys. You listen to me. Get out in these restaurants. Get out in this town. Go down by the beach. Okay, get into the communities. Get involved. Be a part of our world if we want to grow Fellowship Church and reach people for Christ. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Amen? Y'all hearing me? Oh, man. Something good's going to happen. Something good is happening now. Okay? But we're going to reach people. People that need to be reached. We need to meet them in their real world. Jesus met them at the what? They were what? That's where we need to meet people. Understand? Okay? Hope you're getting this a little bit. I'm sort of swimming around the edges just trying to make some points that are valid to us to help us reach our community. Okay? Now, Jesus was this. Say that word with me. He was a what? He was a rabbi. Yeah, he was a rabbi. You see it in John 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And he says, I know that you are a rabbi, you're a man sent from God. Jesus was a rabbi. He was known as a rabbi. He went around teaching. People that run around teaching like that was called a what? A rabbi. Okay? And this is what Jesus was saying to those guys when they were doing their ships and when they were doing their nets. He was saying to them, Hey, follow me. Leave what you're doing and I'll make you fishers of men. And that's what rabbis would go and they would call people. They would call different people to be part of their team as they would go out and about. Jesus did that, but he went about it a little different. He didn't go to the theological schools and call the folks. He went to the real world. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Yeah. That's what he called James and John. He what? He called them to follow him. Now this is what that's what he meant. I call you. I can teach you. You can do what I do. Would you say those three things? I call you. I can. You can do what I do. One more time. I can. You can do what I do. Guys, listen. Listen, I'm calling you today. As the pastor here today, I'm calling you. I can teach you. I can help you. Not like he can, but I can help you. Pete and Joan, if they come to that class, you can hit you. Listen, you can do what we do. You understand? If we're going to grow fellowship, we're going to build a church and be strong. It's great to have a building. It's great to have it debt-free. All that's awesome. But guys, we need more of you to be with us. Amen? Say. That's what Jesus did. He's the Son of the living God. But he needed help, didn't he? Sure. He was in the real world. He needed real people to help him. Now, I'm going to go in not too much depth, but just a little bit. I've done this before in the past. But to be a follower of a rabbi, to be called of a rabbi, to follow a rabbi. Now, anybody can listen. But to be one of the crew, to be one of the team, to be called, to be taught, and then to do what the rabbi does. Listen. Now, almost everybody in that time, especially around Jerusalem, they know the first five books of the Bible. They knew them all. Could pretty near quote them, memorize them. That's everybody. A lot of people knew the entire Old Testament. They knew the entire Old Testament. Okay? Who did the rabbi call? The rabbi would call the chosen ones. He would call the best of the best. He would call the ones that knew that Torah, that knew that Old Testament, up, down, left, right, back, forth, to be a teacher like him. You understand? Now, this should radically sort of change our head and make our head twist a little bit right now. Who Jesus called? Say, who did he call? Do you think Peter knew the Torah? I don't think Peter knew the Torah. I think Peter could gut a fish like that. He could throw that net. He could do his thing. Did he know the Torah up, down, back? I do not think so. Do you think that Andrew and James and John, do you think they knew the whole Old Testament? Are you kidding me? Jesus met them right in their real world. He called Galilean fishermen. And you know what? They jumped at the chance, didn't they? Did y'all hear me? Yes or no? Can you imagine how many times they had been passed over? Say, the rabbi would come through. I call you and I call you. You're scum. You're scum. You're nothing. You don't know anything. And when we come across to people like that, it drives them from Jesus too. Amen? Say, come on. Jesus called Galilee of fish, and they jumped at it. I want to move the story way ahead. Jesus has died on the cross. He's resurrected. It's the day of Pentecost. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit, these disciples. Now watch it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the disciples and others. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house with where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat on each of them. I don't understand all that. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other what? The actual word for that tongues right there is languages. Galilean fishermen, who couldn't even speak good Hebrew, started speaking in foreign languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every what? Celebrating Passover. People from all over the world would come to Jerusalem, Grand Religious Central Station. People from different dialects and tongues. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because, say this with me, that what? Every man what? Heard who? Galilean fishermen. Say it with me. Heard who? Speaking his own what? Are you kidding me? And they were all amazed and marveled, and they said one to another, behold, are not these all Galileans who are seen in our own language? How can we hear every man our own tongue wherein we were born? And others mocking said, the religious leaders, these men are full of new wine. They're drunk as skunks. They've been on a cruise ship. Okay? But Peter standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice. Do you think Peter could be loud? Oh yeah. He said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. But these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Time started at 6 a.m. Jewish clock is 9 a.m. Boys, it's too early for us to be sauced already. Okay? God's speaking through us. Here's the point. God called these guys and they jumped at the chance. Y'all hear me today? For you see your calling, brethren. Hath it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called? But God, this should encourage you and me, amen? But God has chosen the what? Foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the what? Weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. If in our weakness we'll let Jesus work through us, if in our hurt we'll let Jesus work through us, you'd be surprised there's a lot of weak and hurt people right out there if we'll meet them in their real world. You understand? This is how God works. He works through real people. Jesus didn't want the best of the best because the real world wouldn't get it. So I'll choose these broken ones. I'll choose these crazy ones. I'll choose the cussing one. The cut your ear off guy. I'll choose the mama's boys. Were they mama's boys in the Bible? James and John, if you know your Bible, yeah, they were mama's boys. Sure they were. I'll choose them. Jesus came to the ship. They were what? On. And they jumped at the chance. We're almost done, I hope, Rog. Get on board. So what did they do? We're going to fly from here on in, buddy. They forsook immediately. And straightway they forsook their nets. And they followed Him. They left their nets. Keep going. They left their ship. Keep going. They left their families. Not for good. But they put Jesus first. And they followed the Lord. Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, teaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics. And those that had the palsy, and He healed them. They followed Jesus all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing sickness and disease, casting out demons. Jesus said, if you follow me, I call you, I can teach you. You can do what I do. Amen? And they did it. That should give us all hope. Amen? Come on! The importance of the men that Jesus called. These guys made a difference and they were important to the overall plan of God. These fishermen were not only followers now, but they were leaders. Helping Jesus with His ministry. I need you to be leaders. I want you to be leaders. Leaders in helping us with the ministry. Leaders in sharing the gospel. Leaders in having a testimony for the Lord. Are y'all listening to me? The Great Commission is going to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize in the name of the... You to be leaders. We're calling you. Hear me today. We want you. This had a profound effect on the people, especially the who. Here's who I'd like fellowship to be. I'd like fellowship to be a church where anybody can come. I'd like people to fellowship church to be a place where people think they can come. Say, think they can come. Think they can come. Think they can come. I think I can go there. Because of us out in the community, us talking, us eating, us doing what we do, us doing our business, us on our jobs, I want us to be known as a church where people think they can come. They just might can make it there. I want to be that kind of church. Amen? You listening to me, yes or no? Come on! They're religious leaders that ought a certain way. You anything you want here, just come covered up. Amen? All right? But listen, honest to God, guys, listen to me. If we're going to want to reach our community, honestly, if we just would be at, like normal, you know, and they would know that they can come here. You can, I told a boy yesterday, son, are you here? I met you yesterday at the car wash. Can I see your hand if you're here in the building? You lied to me. It's all right. People do that. I'm going to go see him again. We'll keep working on him. Amen? He was in shorts and he had a shirt on. He was sweaty. I said, you can wear it like that. Just like that. It'll be fine. You can come like that. He said, no, I can come clean. I said, you're fine. You're clean. You're fine. I like people to feel like they can come here. You understand? Amen. So anyway, they taught a certain way, and for the most part, they were from a certain way. You know, fellowship church, you can look at it as a positive or a negative. I talked about the pastor thing. The second thing, you can look at it as a positive or a negative. This one, non-denominational. A lot of people, that, well, I'm Methodist, or I'm Baptist, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. Well, we're not any of those. Understand? Yes or no? We're a non-denominational church. And some people, when they roll into town, first thing they're going to look for is their denomination they were always part of. It's okay. It's not who we're trying to reach anyway. I'll reach people who need Jesus. You understand? But we'll miss some of them because they're denominationally driven. It's the way they've been raised, the way they think. I'm glad we're a non-denominational church. You understand? Say. That's why we put it right up top, because people don't know who we are, Fellowship Church. Then say this. We love Jesus and we love, say it with me, we love and we love people. And we're not hiding behind a denomination. A lot of churches, and I don't mean to be ugly, a lot of churches today, they change your names and everything so they can hide from the denomination. We're not hiding from it because we ain't one. You understand? Say. Y'all listening, I lose you again. Why, Clark? Why'd you do such a thing? When we started Fellowship Church, my background, hell-raiser than Baptist, trained Baptist, all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But I wanted a church where people could come. 10% of people up north have a favorable view of Baptist. 10%. And we know everybody down in Englewood's from up where? Why shoot ourselves in the foot right out the gate doing that? Amen? Say. In the South, 40% of the people have a favorable rating of Baptist. So we're not. Okay? I did learn in the Baptist church, though, how to love God's Word. Did you hear me? Love God's Word. Preach God's Word. Believe the book. But some of the things I was taught, I've thrown in the trash can. You hear me? Yes or no? All right? You listening? Believe God's Word. Teach God's Word. Reach people for Christ. Be real. Just like Jesus was. Amen? I'm going long. The importance of the men that Jesus called. It was wild. Galilean fishermen chose to help the rabbi. Isn't that crazy? Gives me a lot of hope. The prevailing thought of the day was the further you got away from Jerusalem, Grand Central Religious Station, the less serious you took those who were teaching. Except the common people, the regular folk. These guys really connected. They came from all around the world. They came from Syria. They came from Decapolis, which is 10 cities. They came from Jerusalem. They came from Judea. And these men had a profound effect on the world. Incredible. Why did these guys, why did they come? They came to Jesus because they thought they what? Say it. Why did they come to Jesus? Because they what? They thought they could. If He was something, if He has something to do with fishermen, say this with me. Maybe He'll have with me. It goes back to reality. We're going to close the message, Raj. It goes back to reality. If we are real in our life, if we can be strong enough in the Lord to share our pain, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, and if we can seek to follow the Lord and not shy away from who we really are, there's a good chance we're going to reach some people for the Lord. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? That's what this message is about today. The boat you're on. Jesus wants you to drop those nets and follow Him. Because you can. He's calling you. He can teach you. Amen. He's pulled along the side of the ship that you're on. Real world. It's your decision. He can save you. My message, because He saved who?
Me.
Let's let that be the message of our church. Amen? If He can save me, He can sure save you. Amen? Come on, that was the message. Get on board. Are we done, Raj? Praise the Lord. Y'all didn't know Raj runs a thing. That was all about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His Word today. Amen. Amen. Get on up with me if you would. Thank you for listening to the Word this morning.